public good. And the same was introduced by Imam Shafi'i, the founder of the third school of law, in the form of istithab. So according to Hanafi school of law, istihsan, according to Maliki school of law, masaleh mursala, and according to Shafi'i school of law, istithab, and according to Hanbali and Jafri and other schools of law, istidlal and urf and all other auxiliary and subsidiary sources of law. These provisions have been made in the sources of the Sharia in order to meet with the exigencies and emergencies of the time. By istihsan we mean to prefer the legal opinion, to prefer a particular juristic opinion to another juristic opinion on the basis of a stronger support of Quran and Sunnah. If there are two analogies in contradiction, if there is a conflict between two analogies, so to prefer one of the two and to discard the other on the basis of the support of the provisions of Quran or Sunnah or Ijma, so this preferential treatment is known as istihsan. Sometimes there is this situation that the strict analogy gives you this answer, but another unsystematic juristic opinion gives you the another answer on the same issue. But your problem is resolved through the other juristic opinion and not through strict analogy. So to discard the strict analogy and to prefer any other juristic opinion on the basis of the necessity of the age, on the basis of the argument of necessity, so it is known as istihsan-e-zarurat. And the first was known as istihsan-e-qiyasi. And as far as masaleh-e-mursala, the istithlahi mode of ijtihad according to Maliki school of law is that if a law is formulated on the basis of general welfare without any comparison with strict analogy, without any comparison with qiyas, so if the law is directly based on the necessity of the time, if it is directly based on the idea of general welfare of the public, if a law is directly based and formulated on the basis of the betterment of the society and the provisions are derived from the general ideas of Quran and Sunnah, it is known as the law of masaleh mursala. So you can adopt the third mode of law either in the form of istihsan or in the form of masaleh mursala or in the form of istithab. Istithab means presumption of continuity. In the form of istidlal, that is logic argument. In the form of urf, that is custom. In the form of law of necessity, that is zarurat-e-shari. In the form of istirar, that is extreme state of necessity. In the form of umum-e-bulwa, there are many other forms which have been accommodated under the idea of ijtihad-e-istithlali. So by analyzing all these sources, we can reach the conclusion that the primary sources of Islamic law are two, Quran and Sunnah. Then the secondary sources of Islamic law are again two, Ijma and Qiyas. And subsidiary or auxiliary sources of Islamic law are 14. They start from istihsan and masaleh mursala and end at zarurat and istirar and many things. And there are many other auxiliary and subsidiary modes of ijtihad. So these are various sources. Now, by the end of our lecture, we will come towards the scope of ijtihad. As we have already discussed, that ijtihad is of three kinds. The scope on the basis of these three modes is again divided into three various categories. If there is legislative requirement of ijtihad, then there would be ijtihad-e-bayani. If there is interpretative requirement, if there is interpretative requirement, then there would be ijtihad-e-bayani. If there is legislative requirement, then there would be ijtihad-e-qiyasi. And if there is implementative requirement, then there would be ijtihad-e-istithlali. And ijtihad, as far as its scope is concerned, again is of two kinds, formulative ijtihad and interpretative ijtihad. By formulative ijtihad, four kinds of lawmaking come within the scope of ijtihad. Four kinds of lawmaking come within the purview of formulative ijtihad. To formulate the constitutions of a state comes under the formulative kind of ijtihad. to formulate the legal statutes and bylaws of the state comes under the caption of formulative ijtihad. Then to formulate the procedural laws, then to formulate the regulatory laws, all these categories come under the formulative form of ijtihad. An interpretative form of ijtihad, by interpretative form we mean the adoption of another juristic opinion in the same school. This I have discussed under the category of istihsan. The second form is adoption of the legal opinion of other school. By this category we mean that if you are Hanafi or Shafi'i or Maliki or Hanbali or Jafri, you adhere to a specific school of law. So to adherence to a specific school of law, dear students, does not mean to close your eyes from other ijtihadat done and conducted by other imams. Adherence to a particular school of law does not mean to close your eyes and not to get any guidance from ijtihadat conducted by other imams in other schools. So this falls within the purview of talfiq. If your school of law gives you a solution of a particular problem, but your complication is not resolved through the legal solution given by your school of law, so although you adhere to a particular school of law, but in spite of this adherence, you can take the specific solution of that problem from another school of law. And you can create a new solution by the combination of two views, by the combination of two opinions of two schools. This is known as talfiq. And with a little difference, the same idea becomes takhayyur. So the idea of takhayyur, to adopt the opinion of other school, the idea of talfiq, to adopt the solution of a legal problem from another school, and to create a new problem by the combination of two. This is talfiq. So all of these things are the modes of auxiliary ijtihadat, interpretative ijtihadat. Moreover, under interpretative ijtihad, you can change the gradational degree of the legal venture. For example, anything is mustahab, it is recommendatory. Islamic State can declare it to be obligatory in order to fulfill a particular requirement. For example, if the life is becoming more luxurious and law and the people are wearing luxurious dresses and they are living in a luxurious form of life, so Islamic State, in order to finish and eliminate the trend of luxuriousness or luxury, it can directly prohibit this kind of life in a state. So this can be done under interpretive ijtihad of the state, and this is one of the duties of the Islamic legislature. So these were various forms of ijtihadat. Some of them were primary, some of them were auxiliary, some of them were formulative, some of them were interpretative. So on the basis of this kind of ijtihad, the Sharia has provided a mode of creating flexibility in the law of Sharia. That's why we are in a position to say that Islamic law is rigid as well as flexible. When we talk of rigidity of Islamic law, please understand, we are only confining our statement towards the basic ideas given by Quran and Sunnah. Those concepts and those ideas and precepts expressly given by Quran and Sunnah, they are always in perpetual and constant form. They have to remain in the same form. So the rigidity of Islamic law means in connection of the basic ideas and concepts given by Quran and Sunnah. And when we talk of the flexibility of Islamic law, we talk its implementational aspect, that the as far as the detailed rules are concerned, as far as the rules which are to be derived from the basic sources are concerned, they are flexible. So one ijtihad can repeal another ijtihad of the, in a subsequent ijtihad can repeal a prior ijtihad. And since the ijma is the collective form of ijtihad, same is the situation of ijma. Ijma of today can repeal and abrogate the ijma of your prior time, except the absolute ijma of the companions of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. So ijma can repeal the ijma. Ijtihad can repeal another ijtihad. Qiyas can repeal another qiyas. this situation has been granted by the God Almighty, to the legal system of Islamic Sharia, so that it may maintain its evolutionary principle, it may maintain and restore its developmental process, so that in every time of human history, so whenever new situations arise, new complications arise, new problems arise, they can be perfectly dealt with by the provisions of Sharia. Had provision of ijtihad not provided in the Islamic system of law, it would have been become unadjustable, it would have been become static. So its position nowadays regarding the ijtihad is that those who are absolutely having the orthodox mode of thought, they theoretically accept the significance of ijtihad, but practically they declared it to be an evil. So according to them, practically the gate of ijtihad has been closed. But the fact is that that gate of ijtihad, which could create new school of law, has been closed for all times to come. But remaining within the scope of those schools of law, 100 times an ijtihad could be conducted in the light of Quran and Sunnah, because the outcome of ijtihad is known as fiqh, and outcome of revelation is known as Quran and Sunnah. And Quran and Sunnah and fiqh, there is a lot of difference between the two. Fiqh is an outcome of the application of reasoning of the jurists in the light of Quran and Sunnah. So the process of application of reasoning would continue till the history of the mankind. That's why the gate of ijtihad within the fixed sphere and fixed scope of the schools and the basic principles, that should remain open for all times to come. And as far as the basic ideas given by Quran and Sunnah, since they are not outcome of any human being, they are outcome of divine revelation. They are outcome of the words of God Almighty and the precepts of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. So no ijtihad can repeal the precepts of Holy Prophet, and no ijtihad can repeal the commandments of God Almighty. So Quran and Sunnah has to remain for all times to come. And ijtihad is the process to derive the guidance from Quran and Sunnah in all times in order to meet with the contemporary requirements. Thanks. This was the lecture. On the topic which we have discussed today, or any topic, any other, regarding Islam, on which you find confusion in your minds. So the sitting of our question and answer is clearly open.